Good morning. Welcome to In Christ Singapore online service. We would like to welcome everyone who took the trouble to join us for service this morning. If you are a new visitor, kindly fill out the electronic contact card, which will provide the link in the chat below so that we will know you better. Do drop by the chat box and say hi so that we know you are here and can greet you. Please sign up for updates for events using WhatsApp or follow us on Facebook or Instagram to be kept aware of what's going on at In Christ Singapore. Here are some of the upcoming events. Peer-to-peer learning. We will be having peer-to-peer learning program where we can learn from each other and strengthen the bonds within the church. Scheduled to run from October to December 2020, let's end the year with this program whereby you are encouraged to meet with your pet buddy twice within this period. Please register for the program in the link provided. Should you have any inquiries, the Marketplace Ministry will be joining us at Hangout today later after service. All are welcome to join today's Hangout for a chat. EOGM 2020. In Christ Singapore will be having a EOGM at 4th of October 2020. All registered members are welcome to attend. Please do register for the meeting to be given in a unique link by which to attend. Please check your emails for details or WhatsApp us at ICSG updates at the phone number provided should you need any assistance. Prayer. Please join us Tuesday for our bi-weekly prayer meet beginning at 7:30 in the evening and hosted on Zoom. Please come together and let us stand in the gap and pray on behalf of our church and our nation. Acts Bible Study. We are continuing Acts Bible Study session number 7 this coming Thursday. We will be covering chapters 25 to 28 in greater depth during the session. The Bible study will be available at the same URL and we hope to see you there. Should you have any comments or questions on the chapters covered that thus far, do send them in ahead of the next Q&A session that is coming out on the 8th of October. You may send them in through WhatsApp or through your cell group leaders. The Women of Faith continued their book study, The Pursuit of Holiness, on Thursday 9:30 a.m. in the morning. Do join the Women of Faith if you are available during this timing. You may WhatsApp us at the link provided for more details. Tithes and offering. In Christ Singapore, we like to thank you for your tithes and offering. We thank God for your faithfulness and we appreciate your offerings through electronic means. You can use your bank app or to scan the QR code so that to do a transfer using PayNow or PayLah. Alternatively, you can use manual entry with the bank details provided in the slides attached. Lastly, cell groups. In Christ Singapore is a cell group church. We strongly encourage everyone to be part of a cell group where you can join a close group of like-minded people in your Christian walk together. We have a total of 7 different cell groups and encourage you to join one today. Please fill in the contact form and we'll get back to you shortly. Now, thank you for your attention. I would like to close this announcement with a short prayer for you and to ask God to bless us for the service later. Thank you, Lord, for this time that we can come together to honor you. Lord Jesus, we invite you into our heart and into this place. May your presence be with us as we go into praise and worship. May you anoint our heart, our mind, our spirit, so that we can be sensitive to you and your teaching. Make us more like you, Lord Jesus. We give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I would like to pass this time to the praise and worship team. Thank you very much.
Good morning, church. Welcome back to our online services. Let's raise and praise and worship our God. with all my heart I worship, and on to you I sing, for you alone deserve all glory, for you alone deserve all praise. Father, we worship and adore you. Father, we long to see your face, for you alone deserve all glory, for you alone deserve all praise. Father, we love you and we worship you this day, for you alone, Father.
Draws me to your side. Your mercy calls me to be like you. Your favor is my light. Every day I'll wake up my praise. Pour out a song. Your goodness draws me to your side. Your mercy calls me to be like you. Your favor is my delight. Every day I'll awaken my praise and pour out a song from my heart. You are good, you are
Father, we just want to come before you this morning. We thank you for the worship. We thank you that we can come before you in worship. And we can lift up your name that is above every other name. And God, we just pray that as we go into the word this morning, may you prepare our hearts. May we be able to receive the word that you have for us. And may the word become revelation in our lives. And God, we also just pray for the tithe and offering, Lord. We pray that you bless the tithe and offering. And then we thank you as well that you bless a cheerful giver. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Be so very welcome to In Christ Singapore. And I just want to make a kind reminder that next week we are having Holy Communion. And I just want to remind us to prepare the elements so that we can partake of the Holy Communion together. Another thing I want to speak about before I introduce today's speaker is that, as some of you may know by now, that the government has come out with the announcement that worship services can start up in groups of hundreds with different precautionary measures in place. So we are glad to hear that things are developing on that side. But I also want to ask us as a church to continue to be patient as we look into the different precautionary measures that are being put into place right now and the restrictions that we have, as well as we are working with Hotifer Canning when it comes to their current capacity within the new rules. So I also want us to be prepared as a church and have that in the back of our mind that church will be different to what we used to have before the circuit breaker. But of course, as we come back to physical gatherings, to also have the mindset that we are in this together and that we all do our part to follow up on the different procedures that are being put into place. So we will keep you updated on this and let you know as we are looking into the different parts of it to be able to go back to the physical gathering. So stay tuned on that part. But today we are blessed that we have Pastor Daniel Ho speaking to us, our senior pastor, and he is a familiar place to, if not all of us. So I just want to encourage us to keep our hearts open and to receive the word that God has for us today.
Father, we give you praise and thanks for this opportunity that we can meet online to worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you for your faithfulness and goodness in journeying with us every day of our lives. We give you praise and thanks that, Father, we can continue to worship you with our tithes and our offering. We thank you that you are the source of our provision. We thank you that, Father, we can be a stewards of your money so that it can be a blessing to many around us, especially to the poor and needy. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Good morning, brothers and sisters. It's wonderful to meet you online again. I've entitled this morning's sermon, "It is More Precious Than Gold." All of you would have heard that the price of gold has shot up recently because of COVID-19. We have seen hot money flowing from stocks to gold and properties because everyone is looking for a good place to park their money. What is more precious than gold? Well, it is not the tech stock, nor any prime property developments in London, Shanghai, Melbourne, Hong Kong or Singapore during such uncertain times. It is something that all of us are able to possess. It is priceless. It is our ability to honor our words. Matthew chapter 5, verse 36 to 37, reading to you from the New King James Version, it says, "Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your yes be yes, and your no, no. For whatever is more than this is from the evil one." In the olden days, there's a tendency to swear by a divine being or sacred object to stress the words that he's about to say should be taken seriously and it is truthful. Jesus is telling the people that there's no necessity to swear by anything when they speak. What Jesus is emphasizing is the man's character and the ability to keep his word. It should suffice regardless whether it is a yes or no, thus making the oath unnecessary. Our word represents us, therefore our word should be just as good. Jesus is the word that became flesh and walked among us. The word of Jesus represents him. He means what he says, and he says what he means. Likewise, we need to know that our word represents us. Thus, it is important for us to honor our words. Let me give an example. I felt very honored when I attended a meeting with some government officials and the way we were being introduced. The senior official introduced us as ICS and emphasized that we always deliver whenever we promise to do something. He said he was very impressed that we are very objective, professional with our work, and we do exactly what we have agreed. We honor our words and agreement. Have you ever met or had a conversation with someone who promised you something but never delivered on his or her words? I've experienced it on many occasions. It is very disappointing, frustrating, and disheartening. Slowly but surely, you will become very skeptical when you have had a few of such encounters or conversations with these people who don't really mean what they say. The sad thing is some of these people don't even realize that they have lost credibility of their words and as a person. They are just saying things to get what they want, regardless whether it is a business deal, an assistance from you, a favor, or just a simple conversation to impress. We should be well known for many things, but this is one thing we should not be known for. That is not being able to deliver what we have said. Let me give you an example. Do you know that our children have very simple faith towards God and His Word? They trust the words of the adults, especially their parents. We should not play down the effect of a broken promise or promises to a child when the parents fail to honor their words. The child will be disappointed, hurt, feel a sense of abandonment and a loss of confidence. We need to rebuild the trust in our words. Don't say more than what we can deliver. Verse 37b says, "For whatever is more than this is from the evil one." We tend to attempt to cover up or crowd words that are non-committal when we are at a meeting in order to safeguard our personal or company interests. We are supposed to just say a yes or no. If there's anything to add, will be to clarify, be upfront, to substantiate the yes or no. The Bible has taught us not to lie. It is the devil's nature to lie and twist the words, including scriptures. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 to 17. "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in that day that you eat of it, you shall surely die.' This was God's specific instruction to Adam and Eve regarding not to eat of the forbidden fruit on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It was a very clear instruction that there is only one tree where they cannot eat of the fruit. It was a very clear no to them, and the consequences of breaking it is death. Let us look at how the devil twisted the word of God to deceive Adam and Eve. Genesis 3:1 says, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?'" It was a mix of trickery, deception, craftiness, cunningness, and manipulation put forth by the devil. This cleverly crafted question, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" deceived Adam and Eve into thinking that it was alright to eat from every tree without mentioning the consequence of eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They shall surely die. The consequence of the action was hidden from them. It was meant to be a deception. Doesn't it sound familiar when we are often told of all the good things and the promises written in bold as an advertisement without mentioning those critical items that trap us in the fine prints? That's the reason why we should be thankful for those who are observant and detailed among us, like the corporate lawyers or even our spouse, to protect us from being deceived. Let me share with you how a person will behave in his words when a person is not able to give you a definite yes or no. It is the beginning of mistrust. I'm quoting to you from a book written by T.J. Eddington on trust busters. "Being secretive and impossible to read, being vague and fuzzy, breaking promises, acting inconsistently, not engaging in real dialogue, giving preferential treatment, using people, controlling, making assumptions. It is a slippery road the moment we attempt to keep the truth from others by being vague, fuzzy, secretive, and impossible to read while presenting a business plan, establishing a relationship, or being called into question for misdeed. When we present a business plan or partnership without having consistency or clarity, then we will tend to break promises after the partnership agreement. We will tend to protect our own interests, thereafter by twisting our words, giving preferential treatment to ourselves, using people, and making assumptions that the people know about it. This is especially true when we are stressed out under this business environment. However, we need to remember that nobody will trust us, do business with us, or even partner us once we lose our credibility. It is a huge price to pay. Remember, it was the devil who twisted the word of God with clever craftiness, cunningness, and trickery. Therefore, when we are not engaging in a real dialogue, then we are evading with the intent of not delivering what is expected of us. When we are selfish, inconsistent in our action that is based on what is the best of our interests, we will definitely break promises down the road. It is very difficult to earn the trust of such in such a situation or relationship. Let me give you an example. We live in a world where we are very good in packaging a product so that it will help in the sales. We have also improved in the area of developing good people skills. We communicate what people would like to hear, although it could be misleading and not really revealing the hidden clauses. What is most important is whether the product is what it claims to be. Do we mean what we say while being good in people's view? When people discover or realize that our products and words are not truthful, then there will be distrust developed. Let me share with you a video prepared by Channel News Asia. So all credit goes to Channel News Asia for their research and program. It's what is labeled, actually what is being sold.
frozen fish and processed fish, all from sources which claim to be sustainable. An MSC certified product. The results show that the Pacific cod was actually Alaskan pollock. According to advocacy group Oceana, one in five samples of seafood that they tested was actually mislabeled. Everywhere I go in Chiang Mai, someone is peddling produce that's labeled organic. Yo, these carrots are so fresh. You can still see the soil on them.
เราเชื่อฉลากที่เขาแปะว่าออร์แกนิกแต่ข้อแนะนำก็คือว่าเราก็ไม่ควรจะเชื่อ 100%
Technically we can just wash and cook our vegetables so the pesticides go away, right?
ก็เลยใช้ยาที่มีความรุนแรงใช้ยาที่เป็นอันตรายมากขึ้นเพื่อที่จะฆ่าศัตรูพืชให้ได้แล้วยาพวกนี้ส่วนใหญ่เป็นยาที่ดูดซึมเข้าไปในเซลล์พืชเพราะฉะนั้นเนี่ยล้างไม่ออกบางอันเนี่ย
เป็นออร์แกนิกปลอมแล้วก็เป็นเฟคออร์แกนิกเนี่ยซึ่งมารวมอยู่ในตลาดด้วยในตลาดเนี่ยนอกจากฟาร์มต่างๆที่ปลูกผักออร์แกนิกมาเนี่ยกว่าจะไปถึงลูกค้าจริงๆเนี่ยก็จะผ่านผู้รวบรวมนะครับผู้รวบรวมเนี่ยก็จะรวบรวมผักโดยการซื้อจากฟาร์มออร์แกนิกต่างๆทีนี้เมื่อเขาเมื่อออร์แกนิกมันแพงกว่า
So if I can just ring up the supplier and say you're stating 100% organic for these ingredients, can you please send me over your service? The minute they start to hesitate, we know there's something going on. If you trust your supplier and we know where it's come from, that's enough for me to serve to my customers.
So when I buy an eco label, it's often a leap of faith.
Imagine how disappointed you will be when you have paid premium for organic product only to find out that it is not what it claims to be. Can you imagine paying premium for a fish when it is not the fish in the package but a fish with similar texture? Can you imagine being a consumer of these products and brands? Will you continue to buy from the same company if you know that what they claim isn't what you are buying?It will be difficult for the consumer to trust you if you're a businessman and a company that you represent. Many people have spoken too quickly, easy to make promises, too quickly to please others, or the desire to impress without meaning what they say, nor have the intention to make good what was being said or worse still promised. We will be known as a liar if we fail to deliver what we have said. We will never be trusted again. Let's talk about business partner.There might be occasions when one business partner manipulates his way to oust the other partner despite of all the written agreements because of selfish reasons when the business is doing well. That's not operating in integrity. If the trust between the business partner is broken, then it's difficult to continue in the partnership. Neither will anyone want to partner us if we are known to have such unfair practices. Allow me to share with you a biblical example.Taken from 2 Samuel chapter 21, verse 3 and verse 7. Therefore David said to the Gibeonites, What shall I do for you? And with what shall I make atonement, that you may bless the inheritance of the Lord? But the king spared Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, because of the Lord's oath that was between them, between David and Jonathan, the son of Saul.The Gibeonites had a covenant with the people of Israel during the time of Joshua. Covenant partners swore to protect each other and would not destroy each other, agreed under the covenant ritual established by blood. Therefore, the Israelites in Joshua's time did not kill them despite of discovering that they had been deceived by the Gibeonites. The mistake that was made by Joshua and the people was the failure to find out the truth and seek the face of God before establishing covenant with them.Joshua and the Israelites of that time honor their word despite of discovering the mistake made. Years later, King Saul violated the covenant with the Gibeonites when he killed some of the people and displeased the Lord. We need to remember that covenant needs to be observed through the generations. He did not honor the word of the covenant because covenant partners are supposed to watch over and protect each other. They will never attack one another because the covenant promise has its blessings and its curses. King Saul did not honor the covenant agreement and violated it. But King David made good for the wrong that was made by Saul because he knew the penalty for violating the covenant. He paid the penalty by handing over the 7 men requested by the Gibeonites. King David honored the word of the covenant because he knew the importance of watching over the obligation and the consequences that comes for breaking the covenant. Likewise, he spared Mephibosheth, who is Jonathan's son, from death when 7 men needed to die from the mistake made by King Saul because of his covenant obligation with Jonathan. The covenant agreement is established through spoken words and action. It takes a man of character like King David to honor the covenant agreement despite of the price the people have to pay. If a man is able to honor the word of the covenant, then how much more God, who cannot lie but make good what he has promised? God will not violate the covenant established with his people. We should be a man of character who honor our word, even if we need to pay a price to make it good. Let me give you an example of marriage. Will you marry someone who is secretive, impossible to read, non-committal, inconsistent in his action, keep breaking promises, and not engaging in real dialogue while he's courting you? No! Don't ever think that you can change the person if the person is not able to do all the above before marriage. Therefore, when we say yes at the altar, that we are going to take the woman to be our wife, to stand with her in sickness and in health, then we should honor our words. We should not abandon our spouse or leave them to face their sicknesses and pain alone at home or in the hospital. We need each other most when we are down. If we say yes to her that we will be with her for richer and poorer, then we should honor our word in bad economic times like this. We should pull all our resources together to weather through the rough times. That is acting out the yes that we have committed at the altar. If trust is broken between the covenant marriage partner, then it will take years to rebuild that trust. One trust is broken, then it will take a very long time to earn the trust of someone. The road or journey it takes to earn the trust of our spouse, business community, and the partners is a long and painful one. Yet, we are all guilty of being too loose with our words, especially in promising, without thinking through whether we are able to deliver. Bear in mind what Matthew chapter 5:13 says. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. If we have lost credibility as a businessman, a business partner, or a spouse, then we have lost the testimony of being the salt and light in a darkened and deteriorating world. Jesus is revealing how we should be different from the world, especially in the area of our word and commitment. Let our yes be yes, our no be no. Verse 37a says, let your yes be yes and your no, no. What God is saying through this verse is the righteous should mean what they say regardless whether it is yes or no. It will leave out all ambiguity and no room for the devil to have a toehold in our lives. Your character, integrity, honesty, and the reputation in keeping your word should not need anyone to ask you to speak under oath in order for them to believe in you. When we honor our words, then it will develop trust and confidence with people whom we work with, do business with, and live our lives with. So what are the trust builders? Let me quote to you what T.J. Eddington in his book says on trust builder. It begins by choosing to trust. Being candid and upfront. Keeping promises. Acting consistently. Listening carefully. Being fair and equitable. Caring for people. Being self-disclosing. Empowering and clarifying. So how do we develop trust with our words? Through our words. It is good to be upfront, self-disclosing and clarifying the business plan or partnership. Thereafter, it has to be followed up by keeping all the promises as stipulated in agreement, regardless whether it is to our advantage or disadvantage. It is making good what we have promised and not making use of people. We should be consistent in our action without twisting the agreement to suit us or to protect our interests. We should be fair and equitable with our dealings. This is loving our neighbors just as we love ourselves. We are doing unto others as we want others to do unto us. Let me share with you about the character of God when it comes to honoring His word. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that He should lie, nor a son of man that He should repent. Has He said, and will He not do? Has He spoken, will He not make it good? Let me give you another verse. Isaiah 55:11 says, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. These two verses reveal to us that God will honor His word and watch over His word to perform it in our lives and whatever He has purposed for it. He will follow through and make good what He has said and promised. God and His word are one. He does not change a shifting shadow, nor someone who changes his mind frequently based on his feelings and his mood. He changes not. He will make good whatever He has spoken. Therefore, if God has given you a yes to your prayer request, then you can be rest assured that it will come to pass. He honors His word. This is the character of God. God's character is revealed in His dealing with the people of God. It is so comforting to read about Joshua's testimony about how God honored His word with His people. Joshua shared with His people after their conquest when he was at a ripe old age just before he passed on. But before we go into this passage, let us look at how and what God has promised the people of Israel. In Exodus chapter 6, verse 7 to 8, I will take you as my people and I will be your God. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God who brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will bring you into the land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I will give it to you as a heritage. I am the Lord. First and foremost, we need to take note that God honors His word through the generations. He will make good what He has promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He delivered His promise to this generation as He speaks. This is the promise and reassurance that God gave the people of Israel when He raised Moses up to deliver them from slavery. God was very upfront with them regarding His plan and how He's going to fulfill His promises. The Israelites were not able to see the land nor the conquest of the enemies when these words were being uttered by the Lord. Neither do they know or able to perceive how the land looks like nor how the Lord is able to deliver them. They have to walk by faith and take God's word for it. But it will be a struggle and there will be obstacles because there's always a process before the promises come to pass. They just have to trust God for His word. Likewise, we have to walk by faith and take God's word for it since God and His word are one. We have the privilege as New Testament believers to witness the faithfulness of God. And by reading the testimony of Joshua, he was the leader chosen to bring the people into the promised land occupied by the giants in the land. Let's look at what he said at the closing end of his life. Joshua chapter 21 verse 43 to 45 says, so the Lord gave to Israel all the land of which He had sworn to give to their fathers, and they took possession of it and dwell in it. The Lord gave them rest all around according to all that He had sworn to their fathers, and not a man of all their enemies stood against them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. Not a word failed of any good things which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass. Can you imagine? Everything that the Lord has promised them came to pass. Unlike men, if we are not careful and do not think that it is important to honor our words, then we will make changes to our promises made based on what favor our situation. We tend to lie and twist our words in order not to lose out and keep our own interests at heart. This is the reason why people have lost trust in the integrity of man's word. It affects our faith in God's words, because we might subconsciously think that there is no security in words unless we witness it with our eyes or senses. Everything that God promised them all came to pass. He will act upon what He has spoken and fulfill what He has promised. Not a singular word failed, but all came to pass. That's how important word is to God. Likewise, we should honor our word since we are made in the image of God and being a new creation. Another biblical example that I'd like to share with you is, you would have read about how God established a covenant with Abraham so that he's able to rightfully send forth the Messiah through his lineage. The Abrahamic covenant was an unconditional covenant. Therefore, God is able to ensure the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, even if men failed in their commitment. God was very upfront to declare to Abraham that through him, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. God loved the world and he was very consistent in his word and action. Therefore, you will read about the genealogy of Jesus Christ in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 1, where it goes all the way back to Abraham. Jesus came to disclose and declare the Father to us. Jesus' death on the cross of Calvary fulfilled the Abrahamic covenant, and the Holy Spirit is given to all of us. He has empowered us to live a very different life from the people of the world. God kept His promise. We are blessed in the Lord. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, "For all the promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him, amen, to the glory of God through us." We should conclude that God is more than a man of His word, because He is a God who doesn't lie. His word is as good as gold. He follows through what He has said and makes good what He has spoken. There is absolute integrity in His word. One of the hallmarks of a Christian should be the ability to make good what we have said or promised, regardless of the price it takes. We should be known to be a man of our word. We are to honor our word. We are able to honor our word since we are a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." 2 Peter 1:4 says, "By which you have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." There's a huge difference between our old man and the new creation. The old man has the sin nature. He's used to be dominated by the law of sin and death. We used to have a heart of stone and were rebellious in our ways. We were slaves to sin, and there was no way of breaking out of slavery because of the sin nature. When we belong to the kingdom of darkness and the father of lies has a huge influence in our lives, we will naturally lie, and some does it without blinking an eyelid. We will tend to twist our words based on what is favorable to us. We have become professional liars. John 8:44 says, "You are of your father, the devil. The desires your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." The devil started to lie in the Garden of Eden in his dealings with Adam and Eve. He has not changed and will not change. When we are a slave to sin without the ability to break free, then we will find it normal and natural to not speak the truth nor to honor our words. We will continue to be non-committal, fuzzy, hard to read, break promises, compulsive liar, inconsistent with our words. There are things that we know is right, but we struggle doing it because of the sin and selfishness lives in us. There is a constant struggle to choose between what we deem is right, and we find it difficult to do it, especially when we are under stress. Praise the Lord. The born-again experience gives us a new heart. God has given us a heart of flesh instead of a heart of stone when we are born again and we have His nature. The new creation is found in the spirit being. Since the new creation has the nature of God in His spirit being, we are able to be partakers of God's nature of being just, holy, and righteous in our dealings. We are empowered by the Holy Spirit in the spirit part of our being to live our lives differently from the inside out. We are able to act and speak in a righteous and holy manner. We will honor our words and make good what we have promised. We are able to yield and obey the prompting and leading of the Holy Spirit to do what is right. We will be upfront with the people regarding what we can deliver and what we will not be able to do clearly. We will ensure that the quality of our goods and services is based on what we have promised and written. This helps us to win the trust of the people. We will not overpromise and underdeliver. We will be known to be an honest person. We will be a very different kind of businessman if we stand on this Bible verse. Hebrews 13:5 says, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." If we are convinced that God will never leave us nor forsake us, then we will be contented and confident that he will provide for us, even if we are to lose a business deal by being honest and upfront. We will not yield to covetousness by not standing by our principles and values. Neither will we produce substandard products for our clients because we will lose the trust and confidence from them. We will end up in the losing end if our integrity or the quality of our products are called into question. Honoring contractual agreement. Example, every staff will sign a contract stipulating that it is a 1, 2, or 3 years contract. Clearly, with the job description, the employee would have spent time to pray through whether the job is something that the Lord wants us to do. Once we have signed on the dotted line, it is a form of saying yes to the company with its commitment. Therefore, we should honor the number of years or year of the contract, even if someone else were to offer us a better remuneration environment, and not quit unless the company closed down, get liquidated, or until the term is up. We should be convinced that better opportunities will always be there if God chooses to bless us. Another example is if we are committed to serve in church. If I were to ask you to serve, and you have taken time to discuss and has agreed on it, then saying yes means commitment. So when you give your commitment, keep it. Now, the other example is on marriage. Let's watch this video together on the Platinum 70th wedding anniversary.
Hello, I'm Alan Weaver. My wife, Nancy, is sitting by me here.
My name is Cicely Robinson.
My name is Douglas Arthur Robinson.
My name's Alan, and this is my wife, Delphine.
I've been married for 70 years to this lovely lady.
How long have we been married?
I forget.
And we've been married over 70 years.
I don't know how. What did I like about him?
Became.
When I first saw her, I was taken. She was outstanding.
I don't think I liked anything except that she was always bothering me.
We sat like I might have been sitting now, having never seen each other, spoken to each other, and something just clicked. And it's gone on like that ever since.
Whether I sort of realised I'd be spending the rest of my life with her, I'm not really sure.
It just seems the obvious thing to do, and eventually we got round to getting married. We're still really in love with one another. We sort of gradually relied on each other.
It was just time, and realised that we were probably meant for each other.
We remember the Queen getting married. She looked lovely. She had a beautiful dress and the horses and all the royal carriage, and that was very, very nice to see.
It's straightforward as far as I'm concerned. What kept us going is family. Without them, life would be dull.
It's just if you like, you fall further into love, I'd say that.
Yes.
Easy as that.
So, when you give your word, they kept it for the past 70 years. In closing, let me give you a recent example by the Expatriate Center, TEC. The organizing of the 3E Fair was done within 6 weeks from conceptualization to execution. The three E-Fair is namely entrepreneurship, enterprise, and employment. They communicate to the business community, the local government, district government, and the consulates in Shanghai about their idea. The event was to help those who are looking for a job, the budding entrepreneurs to present their ideas and the companies to have the opportunity to network in the midst of the pandemic. It was a daunting task, faced with negative feedbacks and pushbacks, but they persevered to deliver what they had promised against all odds. They kept their promise. They delivered. Brothers and sisters, it is very much dependent on us whether people will take our words seriously. The best practice is to honor our words so that it will develop trust from people that we work and live with. It is priceless when people are able to take our word for it and believe that we are a man or woman of character. Therefore, let us be known. When we say yes, it is a yes, and when we say no, it is a no, without adding anything to it to twist and turn what we have promised. Let's bow our head and pray. With every head bowed and every eyes closed, I'd like to ask a very critical question. If you are here with us on this online service and you are not a Christian, you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but you'd like to receive Him today, I'd like to pray with you. If that is you, I'd like to invite you to pray this prayer after me. Say this: Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die for me on the cross of Calvary. Forgive me for my sin, for I am a sinner. Come into my heart today. Be my Lord and be my Savior. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you have said that prayer, I'd like to hear from you. My email is written at the bottom of this page. Please write to me so that we can follow up with you. We are one big family in Christ. Let me right now pray for the rest of the congregation. Father, I give you praise and thanks that your word has gone forth. It shall not return void before you, but it shall accomplish all that you have purposed for it to do. Help us to be known as a man of character who honors our word, and that, Father, we will deliver whatever we have promised to do. May we be a testimony for you in our marketplace and in the neighborhood. Now may the love of the Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. Amen.